revival, so our people can all go to revival. So there is some information, I believe, out there on the bulletin board about the revival and location and time. So do that at the church. So we'll have a council meeting on the 26th, and those are things to be on the day of the 27th. So there you go. All right. I've got kind of an unusual message this morning. We're going to talk about handling conflict. Handling conflict, especially with our brothers and sisters. We're going to be in Matthew 18. You have your Bible with you. Now, I'm going to give you a little disclaimer here real quick and tell you that I've been here as the pastor of the church almost 12 years. Matter of fact, next month will be 12 years I've been here. And I think it was about the third or fourth Sunday that I was officially a pastor here, that I preached on this very text and on this very subject. And I told everybody, this is how we're going to do things in this church going forward. And I have tried my best to do things the way prescribed here in this text. And, you know, there's been a few times along the way, though, I thought to myself, maybe I better preach this again, because there could be some conflict brew up in the church. Then I would think about it, and I'd think, well, maybe not. People think I'm talking about them. It's going to make them mad. And I thought, well, we'll do it later time. Well, you know, we haven't had any conflict in this church in a while. Oh, praise God for that. Man, nothing the pastor likes better than a conflict-free congregation, okay? And so anyway, I thought, well, since we hadn't had no conflict here in a while, I better preach on it now, okay? So, Matthew 18, these are the words of Jesus, and he tells us very plainly how we're to handle conflict when we have problems, especially with another brother or sister in Christ. So let's read Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Verse 17 says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Pray for it, please, from prayer.
Father, we just thank you for the purpose of your house, Lord God. Send upon us, Lord God, and put our hearts and minds in the message you have for us to fight our lives. In Christ's name we pray.
Years ago, there was a man who got stranded on a deserted island in the South Pacific. He was a pretty smart fellow, so he thought to himself, you know, I'm going to gather up a bunch of firewood and brush and leaves. That way, when I see an airplane or I see a ship, I can light a signal for. So he got everything ready for the second fire. You know what? 20 years went by. And he never saw the first ship, never saw the first airplane. 20 years he was on the island. And then one day, lo and behold, he heard something. And he looked into the sky, and lo and behold, there was an airplane. And so he got his stuff together, and he lit the signal fire. And praise God, the pilot of the airplane saw him. And he would wave these arms, you know, wanting to get noticed, and the pilot saw him, and he radioed, and they sent help, and after 20 years, he was rescued. We know what this made headlines all over the world, this little boy on this island for 20 years. So one of the national news medias, they wanted to do a story on him. And so they approached him, and they said, "Look, we know you haven't been home 5 or 6 weeks, but we would like to send a camera crew and a reporter and a charter ship to take you back to that island. We'd like to do a story about how you survived." Well, he said, "I'll be glad to do it." And so they went back to this island where he had been stranded for 20 years. And so the cameraman had his camera, and the reporter was asking questions, and he showed him his hut where he slept. And he talked about how he had worked to improve this thing, how it was waterproof. And then he had another little shelter, just before post. It was open on the sides, had a little roof. He said, "This is my kitchen." He said, this is where I would clean my fish. He said, I have a fire pit over here. This is where I cook my food. He showed him how he'd gather rainwater. He showed him where he fished. He showed him how he, where the signal fire had been. Talked about that. And then all of a sudden, the reporter, she noticed him. Up on the hill, there were two more little huts. And she said, well, what are those two huts? And so that hut over on the right, he said, that's my church. He said, even though I was here alone for 20 years, so I went up there every Sunday morning and worshiped. The person said, wow, that's awesome. I said, well, what's that other little hut beside it? He said, well, that's my old church. That's where I went until they made me mad. Kind of a silly little story, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know something? It may sound silly, but I've met a lot of people in 30 years of preaching in the church that they could have been that man. And if I'm honest, when I was told that little story this week, about 15 people come to my mind. And I thought to myself, yeah, that's about the truth. I've met people, believe it or not, that even if they was the only person in the church, they still find something to get mad about. You know the person I'm talking about, people get mad, they drop the hat. And then rather than handle the conflict like a mature leader, what do? They get mad and they leave. Well, friends, too often when a Christian has conflict with a brother or sister in Christ, they handle that conflict like the world would handle that conflict. But I'm here to tell you something. This morning, the Lord is calling us, his people, to a much higher standard.
Amen.
And here in our text, the Lord shows us how he wants us to handle conflict when it arises, especially with another Christian. But you know, in the 30 years I've been a pastor, I can literally count on my fingers on one hand the times that I have actually seen a born-again believer handle a dispute with a brother or sister in Christ in the manner that Jesus prescribes here in Matthew 18. But I have lost count of the times when I've seen somebody get mad at another Christian and rather than doing what the Lord said and do what it said here in Matthew 18, they just get mad and go home. Friends, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. There are going to be times when you're going to have a disagreement with a brother or sister in Christ. It's bound to happen. There's going to be times where there's going to be conflict among God's people. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. When that happens, don't get mad. Let me tell you something. I've been married to my wife almost 35 years. And we've had plenty of disagreements. And we've had plenty of conflicts. And you know what? I've never once in my mind, like, you know what? I'm just going to get mad and go somewhere else. I've never done that. Never even thought that. I don't think she has like me. And when we have disagreements with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to handle those disagreements like mature believers rather than handle them like children who I'm just going to take my toys and go home.
Amen.
So this morning, I want to look at how Jesus says we are to handle conflicts when they arise between us and brother and sister in Christ. And it is my prayer that the next time someone offends you or makes you mad or does something to you that you feel wasn't quite right, that you will handle it the way Jesus says to handle it here. And I promise you, I'm going to hold you to what Jesus prescribes here in this text. So how does the Lord say we should handle conflict when it arises between us and another believer? Well, the first thing the Lord says we should do when conflict arises is that we should go to that person and talk to them face to face. Boy, what a concept. Go to them and talk to them face to face. Look at verse 15. He says, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, he says, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And he says, when he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Amen.
I'm going to make you a promise, okay? And I've done my best to do this, but I'm going to keep doing it. You come to me and you complain about another member of this church. The first thing I'm going to ask you is, have you gone and talked to them? Now, in the 12 years I've been here, I have said that to more than one person. Have you gone and talked to them? And let me tell you something. Your answer is, no, I haven't. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to tell you what I've told other people. Then this conversation is over until such a time that you go and you talk to them. Because that's what you need to do. okay? And you know, years ago, there was a woman who went to church here. And she was also a member of the athletic club downtown here in Mount Sterling. Well, there was another older man who went to church here at the time. This was years ago. He was also a member of the athletic club. And that man, he's since gone home to be with the Lord. But when that man was younger, he actually owned the gym. So he knew what was going on when he was in the gym. And one day, he happened to be at the athletic club. And this woman happened to be at the athletic club. And he saw her using a piece of equipment that day, and she wasn't using it the right way. And so he went up to her, and he said, you know, you're not using that equipment exactly the way it was designed to be used. And so he told her, he said, I'll be glad to show you how to properly use this piece of equipment. Now, friends, there ain't no doubt in my mind. I knew this man pretty well. There's no doubt in my mind he was trying to be helpful. He was trying his best to just help her have a better workout, a more effective workout. But you know what happened when he told her that she was using that piece of equipment wrong? She became offended. And I'm going to tell you something, she didn't just get offended, she got mad. And I'm going to tell you something about this woman, it didn't take much to make her mad, but she got mad. And then she calls me. And oh yeah, by the way, I'll just throw this in. I was on vacation. She calls me, knowing I'm on vacation, and tells me, Brother so-and-so deeply offended me. I said, what happened? She said, I was at the athletic club downtown using this piece of equipment. And he came up and told me I was using it wrong. I said, well, he did own a gym when he was younger. And I said, he does know how to use that stuff. He is in pretty good shape. I said, maybe he was just trying to help you out. Well, I was offended, and I'm mad about it. And I said, well, have you gone and talked to him? I kid you not, this is what she said to me. I knew that's what you'd say. To which I said, well, if you knew that's what I was going to say, why don't you call me? You know, think about it. And then I know what she was doing. She was trying to manipulate me. She was trying to get me on her side. She said this, well, I didn't call you as my pastor. I called you as my friend. I said, well, then as your friend who deeply cares about you, let me tell you that you need to call him, because the Lord says if you have a problem with a brother, you're to go to that brother and talk to him face to face. She apparently didn't like my answer. She hung up on me. But you know, a mature believer will go to their brother and talk to them face to face if they feel like somebody else is wrong. Hear what I said? A mature believer will go to another Christian that they have a problem with, and they will talk to them face to face. Friends, I am convinced that 99%, maybe more than that, 99% of the problems that exist among God's people today could be easily resolved if we would just simply be honest with one another and talk to each other when there's a problem.
Amen.
But if you're going to go and you're going to talk to someone who you think is wrong, let me encourage you to do it the right way. What's the right way, preacher? Well, the right way, I mean, do it in love. Do it in love. I once had a disagreement with the church member. I'll put it that way. Honestly, I found out he was doing something that Christians just shouldn't have been doing. Okay? And I pulled him aside after church, and we went to my office, and I confronted him about it, and I made him mad. But I was trying to help him, I really was, because I knew what he was doing was not going to help him as a Christian. Well, after I talked to him about it, he quit coming to church. And I got word he was mad at me. And somebody told me, oh, Brother so-and-so was mad at you, preacher. And I don't know what you've done to him, but you made him mad. So I made my mind up. I'm going to go talk to him. And so I went to his house, and I knocked on the door. And he answered the door, and I'll tell you something. He did not seem happy to see me. Matter of fact, it was a little bit tense there for a minute, but I got him to invite me in. We sat down at his dining room table. I still remember what I said to him. I said, you know, I said, we're brothers in Christ. And I said, we're going to spend eternity together. I said, you know, since we're going to spend eternity together, I said, I figured we might as well learn to get along while we're here, right?
Amen.
What do you think? You know? And he kind of agreed with that. And then I went to Matthew chapter 18, and I read verse 15 to him, and I showed him what Jesus said. And I told him, I said, brother, because I love you, I have come to talk to you face to face about this issue like a man. Let me tell you something. When I read him what Jesus said, I told him I was there because I wanted to help him because I love him. Let me tell you something. Man, that took all the tension right out of
him. Lord.
Okay? Now I'm telling you, how you approach somebody you have a problem with is going to dictate how it goes from there. If you come to him, look, I don't have confidence with you. I love you, but there's a problem between us and the Lord Jesus himself said right here in verse 15 that if I have a problem with somebody, I'm going to go to that person, and so that's why I'm here. Let me tell you something. That will take all the tension right out of it right now, every time. And let me tell you something. I've been that man's pastor for over 20 years now, but I still see him all the time. We still talk all the time, and we're still pretty close, and we're still real good friends. Well, let me tell you what I've seen happen most of the time when one Christian makes another Christian mad. Instead of going and talking to the person they have a problem with, you know what they do? They go and talk about them. And they go talk about them to anyone that will listen. They'll drag them through the mud on Facebook, and they'll go and they'll try to make that other person sound really bad, and they try to get everyone else on their side. Let me tell you something. If that's how you handle your conflicts, all you're going to do is make matters worse.
Amen.
All that's going to do, going out and bad-mouthing people, talking about them, all that's going to do is make the conflict worse, not better.
Amen.
Friends, I'm going to make you a promise. We're going to do everything we can to do what the Lord says here when there's next time there's a conflict in this church. And just know, if you come to me, you have a problem with another Christian, you tell me about it, the first thing I'm going to ask you is have you talk to them face-to-face. We'll make you a promise. This will resolve 99% of the conflicts in any church. If God wants to do this one thing, just talk to each other and be honest with each other and love each other. And by the way, I don't just think this will resolve 99% of the problems in the church. I think this probably resolve 99% of the problems in the workplace.
Amen.
It probably resolve 99% of the problems in the neighborhood. It probably resolve 99% of the problems in your family.
Amen.
Talk to people instead of talk about them. If you come to me and you complain about somebody and I say, have you talked to them? And you say no, and I say, go talk to them, and you say, well, I don't want to do that. You know, my answer is, well, then it must not be that big of a deal. Because if it's not a big enough deal to go talk to them, it's not a big enough deal to talk about them. Okay, but what about those rare times? You go and you talk to that person, that still doesn't resolve the conflict. What do you do next? Well, Jesus said, your brother hears you, he says you gain your brother, the situation is resolved. And he says, if that doesn't fix it, Jesus said you take one or two witnesses with you. Look at verse 16. He says, but if you will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two words in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established.
Yeah.
Now, let me give you a few rules about who to take with you and who not. For starters, my best advice is take two people with you. I've always found taking two is better than taking one. I don't know why, but later on, if more needs to be done, it's not just you and one person, it's you and two people, okay? Number two, if you're going to take someone with you, don't take your buddies with you.
Amen.
Okay, don't take people with you that you think are going to be on your side. Because I'm telling you, you show up with a couple of your buddies, the person you have a problem with, they're going to feel like they're being ganged up on. And that ain't going to fix anything. And also, I'm going to say this, don't take an immature believer with you either. By immature, I mean don't take people that are young in their faith. So you need to find some mature, impartial believers who will objectively hear out both sides. And then render a verdict what they think is the right thing to do. Now, I'll say this. You can ask a pastor to be one of those people. It doesn't have to be a pastor, okay? You can ask one of our deacons to go with you. You can ask your Sunday school teacher to go with you. Maybe you ask one of the older believers in the church to go with you. Hey, listen to me, young people. I'm going to tell you something. These older folks in the church, the ones with the gray hair, let me tell you something. They've actually lived for a while. Okay? And they've had some experiences, okay? And just believe it or not, they probably know a few things you don't.
Amen.
And sometimes I think it's good to go take one or two with you, make sure one of them, one or two is on the older folks in the church, because they've got some wisdom the younger people haven't figured out yet. And when you go to these folks and you talk to them and you ask them to go with you, tell them what you think the issue is, and tell them that you want them to go with you, that you want them to hear both parties out, that you want them to tell you what they think about the situation. Tell them that you tried to do what Jesus said to do here in verse 15, and that you went, you talked to them face to face, but it was to no avail. And then show them this passage of Scripture and ask them to objectively go with you. Now, in all the 30 years I've been a pastor, do you know how many times I've had to go to step two? I figured it up there, 6 times. 6 times I've had to go to step two where I drug a couple people with me on an issue. 6 times. And why? Well, because step one almost always works. But on those rare occasions when step one didn't work, I had to go to step two. 4 of those cases were resolved by taking a couple others along. And unfortunately, there were 2 cases where verse 16 didn't resolve the issue. And this meant we had to go to step 3. Which brings us to the third point. That is, if someone will not hear you when you go to them face to face, and taking a couple of mature believers with you cannot resolve the issue, then you go to step 3. Boy, this is a step nobody likes. And that is where you take it to the entire church. Look at verse 17. After taking a couple with you, so that you shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Well, it's almost unheard of in 2023, isn't it? But you know what? It's still biblical. It's still doctrinal. It's still the way things ought to be done. Just because most churches today ignore the Scripture and say, oh, we're not going to do that. We don't run anybody off. We need big numbers on that board. No, no. This is the way it's supposed to be done. And if steps 1 and 2 don't work, then you got to go to step 3. Now, this is where you have to get the pastor involved. Now, I don't say this. Usually, no one wants to take things to the place where you don't share things for the whole church. That's why in 4 of the 6, when I had an issue with somebody, and I went to them and I talked to them face to face, and that didn't resolve it. Then I took a couple of mature believers with me, and at first it didn't look like it was going to resolve it. And I said, well, I guess we're going to bring this matter before the church. Well, I'm going to do that. Let's just resolve this matter. Let's shake hands and be friends. And most people don't want to air things out. That's just bad. But every once in a great while, steps 1 and 2 will fail, and you have no choice but to take it before the church. And once it's brought before the church, then the church has to make a decision about what the right thing to do is. And it is at this point, I believe, that the witnesses that went with you should address the church and say, listen, this person came to me, they had a problem with this other person, they tell me that they went and talked to them one-on-one, that didn't work, and they came, and then following what Jesus said to do, they asked me to go with them, they asked this other person to go with them, and we went, and we tried to resolve it, and just it was to no avail, and the person just would not listen, and now, you know, it has to be brought into the church, okay? Now, 30 years being a pastor, I've only had to take things to step 2 a few times. On the occasions that, like I said, most people, yeah, let's just resolve this. Like I said, there were 2 occasions where even step 3 didn't resolve. And unfortunately, in both instances, the party involved refused to come when it was brought before the church. Let me just say this. When that happens, it leaves the church very little choice about how to move forward. And this brings me to step 4. Step 1 didn't work, you went to them one-on-one. Step 2 didn't work, you took a couple witnesses with you. Step 3 didn't work, they won't hear the church. Then what do we do? Well, sadly, if you've exhausted all of these things, and someone will not hear you, will not hear the witnesses, will not hear the church, and it gets brought before the church, and they will not hear the church, then unfortunately, friends, there's just one choice. You ready for this? Dismiss them from the church. Well, that sounds harsh, don't it? Dismiss them from the church. But look at verse 17.
17 again, Jesus said, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." In other words, let him be as a sinner. Now, years ago, I'm going to tell you two stories about the two where step three didn't work. I had a man in my church, and wasn't this church, but he was a leader in the church. And he began to have an affair with another married woman in the community. And I'm going to tell you something, sadly, he didn't make no bones about the fact he was having this affair, and neither did she. And they even chose to move in together. And guess where they moved? They rented the house right across the street from the church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I had a problem with the fact he was having an affair with another woman when he was married and the one he was having the affair with was married. I had a problem with that. But I had a much bigger problem when he moved in right across the street from the church with the woman he was having the affair with. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm going to tell you how I felt about it. I felt like he was thumbing his nose at the Lord. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I have a problem with that. While everyone else in the community went around gossiping about it, I took a different course of action. I went directly to him and talked to him about it. I read to him what Jesus said here in our text. I tried everything I could to get him to realize that what he was doing was wrong. And he very defiantly told me, he said, "I'm going to be happy and I don't care who likes it." And he said, "You need to mind your own business." I said, "Well, when you're a leader in our church and a member of our church," I said, "and you're doing this right across the street from the church," I said, "brother, it is my business. Yeah. And I'm going to make it my business." So I took a couple of our deacons with me. They took the boy's uncle with him because they knew he respected his uncle very much. They pleaded with him to stop doing what he was doing, and he wouldn't listen. So I told him, I said, "Listen to me. I said, if you don't stop this, you're going to leave me no choice but to take this before the entire church. Because I don't care what you do. You do whatever you want. I'm not going to stay." We took it before the church. I told the church what was going on. They already knew. I told them that I had gone and talked to him to no avail. I said I had took my deacon and took his uncle with me. I said he wouldn't hear them. And they stood up and talked. And we had a vote. We dismissed him from membership of our church. You want to know what was crazy? It was a very uncomfortable meeting. His uncle voted to dismiss him. His parents voted to dismiss him. Why? Because they knew he was wrong. And he wouldn't hear the church. So I sent him a letter notifying him of the church's decision. It's been a long while back here. It was a young couple started coming to church here. Both of them got saved and baptized here. They were in their 20s. They were doing really well. They had a couple of children before they got married, and things were going well for him. Right up to the moment she moved in with a 60-year-old drug addict. Left her husband, left her kids, went to live with this old man. I tried step one with her, didn't work. I tried step two with her, didn't work. I informed her when I was doing step two. I said, "Listen, if you don't stop what you're doing, you're going to leave me no choice. We're going to go to step three, and I'm going to bring it before the church." And just like that first fellow, she refused to come to the meeting. We voted. Called me the day she got the letter. And I'm going to tell you what she told me. She said, "I am so sorry." She said, "I don't know what I didn't think." She said, "But when I got that letter stating that I had been dismissed from Reed Village Baptist Church," she said, "reality slapped me right in the face and forced me to realize what I had become." And she said, "I don't like who I am." She said, "I am so sorry. What do I need to do?" I said, "Number one, quit living with the 60-year-old drug addict. Go back to your husband and children."
Yeah.
She said, "I'm on it." said, "How do I get back in church?"
I said, "Well, you need to come forward." I said, "Most people in church know what's going on." I said, "But you come and you apologize," and I said, "We'll restore you." And you know what? We did. We did. Remember that, don't you, Jeff? We're just like we're supposed to. But that other fella, it took him just a little longer to come to his senses. I mean, it took him a few months. But he knew I was right. He knew the guys that went with me were right. He knew the church was right. And one day I was working at the church. I was all by myself. And I heard a car pull up and look out the window. There he is. I'm not going to lie to you. First thing I thought, "Oh, my Lord, I hope he ain't here to kill me." So I'm going to go try to get even with me. He come in and he just bawled like a baby. He said, "I'm so sorry." Unfortunately, he was not able at that point to fix things with his wife. But he did come before the church and he did apologize and he was restored back to membership. He repented of what he had done. Friends, that is the way it is supposed to work.
Amen.
That is what Jesus is, why he's telling us to do this. Because sometimes, friend, it takes a little tough love to get people to do the right things. How many of you got kids? You ever do any tough love with your child? Guess what? Sometimes God has to do it with us.
Yeah.
Sometimes as a body of believers, we have to do it with one of our wayward members. And just in case you say, "Well, preacher, this sounds pretty extreme." Well, let me remind you, in Romans 16, 17, Paul said, "Mark them that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you have learned." He says, "And avoid them." Did you hear that? Avoid them. In 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, Paul says, "We commend you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly."
Amen.
Friends, it may not be something the modern-day church wants to practice, but I've got news for you. It's biblical. And it is the Lord's will. And it's the way it's supposed to be done. And I'm telling you, on those rare instances where you've got to run through this whole process, it works.
Amen.
Because in the two occasions where we had to bring it before the church and the church dismissed somebody, guess what? Ultimately, it brought the person back to where they needed to be with the Lord. And friends, that is how it's supposed to work. How it's supposed to work. And my prayer is, listen to me real careful, my prayer is that no one else will ever push things to that extent again. I hate having conflict. I hate having conflict with anyone, especially a brother or sister in Christ. And I hate it when somebody gets so headstrong that they're going to do something, they don't care how it affects anybody else. I hate it when we got to run through steps 2 and 3 and even take step 4. I pray no one ever pushes things to that extent again. I pray, as long as I'm the pastor here, we'll never have another conflict in this church. That really is my prayer, okay? And I pray that if we do have any conflicts, I pray that we'll settle them in the way that the Lord has prescribed, in a way which will glorify Him and show the world that we truly belong to Him. Friends, listen to me. If we really love one another, this is how we have conflicts with our brothers and sisters. Listen, having conflict with anyone is never enjoyable, especially with a brother or sister in Christ. But you know, getting mad and going somewhere else, number one, it doesn't solve anything, and number two, it only shows your immaturity as a believer. So the next time someone in this church offends you or hurts your feelings or does something to you where you have felt where you feel like you've been wrong, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to them. And you're going to talk to them about it. You're going to open up the Word of God. You're going to show them what the Lord said right here in Matthew 18. And you're going to tell them that you love them and that you don't want to have conflict with them. You'd like to resolve this. And I promise you, friends, if we just do this, we'll have very little conflict in this church. If though that doesn't work, take a couple of your beliefs with you. Step 1 doesn't solve it. Step 2 usually will, okay? And on those rare occasions those things don't work, come and see me. If we have to, and believe me, we'll do everything we can to avoid it. But if we have to, we'll take the matter to the church. But again, I pray that it never comes to that. We'll do everything we can to love one another. But friends, we got to be careful. Because if we handle our conflicts with other believers and really important. We handle conflict in any other manner than which Jesus has prescribed, we are allowing Satan to get his foot in the door of this church.
Amen.
Indeed we are. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. Satan, just all he wants to do is cause conflict. All he wants to do is cause division. All he wants to do is keep us stirred up and mad at one another. But I'm going to tell you something. If you do what Jesus said right here in Matthew 18, that won't happen.
Amen.
Satan will even get his foot in the door. That's the kind of church I want to have, where Satan is not with us. Let me ask you a couple questions from another invitation. Someone hurt your feelings? Someone offended you? Has someone done something to you? That's your question. You hold a grudge? Yeah, these are grudges or not grudges. Grudges are what Satan wants. Let me give you some advice this morning. If you're here today, someone's hurt your feelings. Someone's done something to you that you think is wrong. You feel wrong. You're mad about it. You're holding a grudge about it. Let me tell you what to do. Come to the altar. Pray about it. Talk to the Lord about it. And this week, I want you to go to that person. I want you to be honest with them. I want you to love them. I want you to tell them, hey, this is what Jesus said, and this is why I'm here.
Amen.
Talk to them about it. I guarantee you, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. But maybe it's wrong today. Maybe you know in your heart that you've wronged somebody. Maybe you've done something, said something, but deep down, you know you offended them. You know you hurt them. Let me give you some advice. I'm going to turn to the Lord this morning, pray about it, talk to the Lord about it, and then this week I want you to go to that person. I want you to confess to me, look, I know I hurt your feelings, I know I did you wrong, and I want to apologize. You'll be surprised how well that works.
Amen.
You'll be surprised how well that will resolve any and all how. Just handle it with the Lord instead of hand. Like I said, Satan will love nothing more than keep stirred up in the mind. The Lord is calling us to something much like that. He's calling us to love one another, to be honest with one another, and yes, when we need to, forgive one another.
Amen.
Friends, we'll do that. Like I said, we ain't had no conflict in this church in a while. You know what? We'll just do what the Lord says. I believe we can just keep going, not have any conflict at all. Wouldn't that be great? God's good. His way always works. Sometimes His way ain't easy, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, I am so thankful for this body of believers. Lord, I am so thankful, Lord, for the love that I see demonstrated among our membership here in this church, Lord, and how well everyone here gets along. And indeed, Lord, this church is more than just a group of members, Lord. It's a family. Father, I'm so thankful for every brother and sister in Christ that I've got here. And Lord, I'm thankful to know we haven't had any conflict. Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, I know Satan's right outside the door. And I know, Lord, he'd love nothing more than to stir something up in this church today. I pray, Lord, we'll have good sense of that. Father, I pray next time someone says something, does something to us, hurts us, offends us, Lord, I pray that rather than doing what the world does and going and talking about that person and getting online and talking about them on Facebook, Lord, I pray, Lord, we would be mature believers. Who would go to that person and just open the scriptures to them, show them what you've said, and just be honest with them. And Father, if we find, Lord, in our hearts today, as we search our hearts, if there's someone that we may have hurt, Lord, I pray again you'd help us be that mature believer who would go to that person and apologize and go to seek to make an issue. Lord, help us to settle our conflicts and our differences. In a way, Lord, that you have prescribed, in a way that will glorify you. Lord, if there's anyone here today having conflict with anyone, whether it's a family member, a neighbor, a coach, I pray, Lord, they'll take your advice today. And that they'll yield to you and your word and allow you to have your way in the situation. Now, God, if you're speaking to hearts, and I trust that you are, I pray, Lord, that we'll bring those who need covering to the altar today. Have your way, Lord, in this invitation. Have your way in our hearts and lives. Have your way, Lord, in this church. We'll give you all praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name.